cosmos. About the energy world. Whether I put it as a separate chapter or just include it under the physical world, I don't know. Maybe it should be a separate chapter. I could say something there about conditioning. Again, I just happened to look at the Star Trek episode. Interesting. It's actually, see, it's from called the season 3, The Hunted, episode 11, about a soldier from some planet who has been conditioned psychologically and even on some kind of cellular modification or whatever to be a super soldier. Of course, that's a fairly common theme in sci-fi. But the way they express it there, first of all, it's interesting because they, in Star Trek, they kind of are more humanistic in their approach to the science fiction genre. Now it's Troy there, who she is. So anyway, what I then started thinking of was, it's like an insight almost, that yes, we are conditioned. Of course, that's how we are called in the Gita and Bhagavatam, the conditioned souls. Which then, well, one thing that I have been considering or also realizing is how that conditioning process is going on today in our society. But also how so many people are not aware of that or do not understand it and maybe don't even accept it, that it can exist. A mental conditioning. As I said, you can let's put it like this, and we connect it here somehow to this hypnosis and manipulating the prana or whatever, that when you push out that image you have mental image which is you can create them very strongly. You push it out into the physical level. Well, one way of doing that is by words. That then become suggestions that we use in hypnotherapy. So that's a well-known fact, right? Suggestions. Well, that's conditioning. You're pushing that other person's mind into a certain shape. And for instance, I personally witnessed my hypnotherapy teacher in a lesson during our education, bringing one of us forward, and in front of us taking her down into a fairly deep trance. And then making her forget the number four. Asking her to open her eyes and to count her fingers. And she had 9 fingers. Which made her bewildered because she knew that she had actually 10, was supposed to have 10 fingers. This is what you can do with hypnosis, and I call it conditioning. You can call it that. Now, during my education in hypnotherapy, I got a eye-opening insight there. What a powerful hypnosis machine a television set is. Because with imagery and sound, you can induce at least light states of trance where the person, or you could say like this, now in a period of, now, why trance? Because the reason why it's used in hypnotherapy is that partially to because in a state of trance, a person is more susceptible to suggestions. And what do suggestions mean? Well, suggestions are often given in the form of images expressed through words. The hypnotist paints an image there in the mind of the person. Alters the world of that person. And when that person's mental world is altered, or when your mental world is altered like that, when you open your eyes, that's the world you live in, or think you live in. So that lady when opening her eyes lived in a world where the number 4 does not exist. Again, I can imagine that some hardcore materialists reading this doubt the entire example of the disappearing number 4. But among those who work with hypnosis, which is routinely being done within medicine and so on, and therapy, it's simply a well-known fact. So we will continue bringing up some well-known facts here. Which, although not fitting in inside the physicalist worldview, not only is acceptable but expected in this cosmology, we are seeing unfolding here. And we will look at in the next chapter, if this is now on the energy, I'm not sure. Or actually it could be on the mind. What we're looking at here are examples of structured somewhere there that makes sense. We're learning here about how from psychology itself, again, facts undisputed, that the mind has a much more creative function than we may be aware of when it comes to actually shaping the world as we experience it and live in on a daily basis. My cosmos and world looks different than yours. Two people in the same situation have different perceptions and experiences of the world around them, depending on their guna, their natures. In other words, their conditioning. Because the creation story we just read there from the Puranas, describing how this entire creation, this entire material existence, as we call it, starts with the pure consciousness macrocosmically described as Mahavishnu dreaming. Gets affected by the gunas, the modes of nature, and the ahankara, the false ego, and so on. What this describes is just what we're talking about, a conditioning process, where the original mind, which is transcendental to this entire creation, slips into a dream and gets conditioned into a dream mind, which then presents to that person a different reality. And that dream mind, which is the one we experience right now, is very, what you call it, moldable, form-bought. And this is known, maybe not by simple, uneducated people, but it's known by salesmen, PR people, political and military propagandists, and so on. By psychologists, you learn about this in psychology at the universities. And in fact, if you know this, and you look at the modern media, social media and so on, you see how the ones who have designed these platforms have studied that art, and it's a fact. You can find even such job positions, as far as I know, in these big corporations. And well, script writers for movies, screenplays, and speech writers for leaders, they know this art. How you form a message to make it accepted, to make it do its work, to sink in, to influence that person. Influencers learn it, and you find them on YouTube. So, yeah, where was I? Conditioning there. So yes, we can study the world around us and in us and learn just more about it the way it is. And when we do with an open mind, we find that it well, that the cosmos we are talking about in this book unfolds right before us, and right around us and in us. It's simply describing what's here. And I'd say that that's a good sign of real science that may actually discover and describe reality, the truth. But it's not just giving you chunks of mathematical formulas. Claiming to give you a truth that is over there, far away somewhere, forever hidden from your practical life. But real knowledge, if it's to be useful at all for us, should directly enlighten us about the world we live in, so that our quality of life can improve. Not just by making gizmos and money, but by creating or allowing us to create the world the way we feel it should be. Or we could say to return and rediscover the world as it is. Now, why don't we experience the world as it is, if there is a better world somewhere? Well, again, conditioning. Our minds have been conditioned to see the world in the way you see it now. And this specific conditioning we have or are under is that Bhavanam, Bhuvar, or Bhurloka, earthly existence. It's a heavy, strong, bound conditioning inside a kind of virtual reality where the forms are very strongly wound up into rigid, static structures, rather than the more fluid type of existence you find outside of it. Well, the one we have our little experience of every night when we are in the dream world. So why we step into this earthly existence to start with? Well, I heard it from both people with near-death experiences and read it in books by those who seemingly have had connections with the other side. That this is like a school, well, that's what you hear. And that at one point we just felt like we need to get down here. Maybe to test ourselves, maybe to, well, you know, how would I act and be and so on if I can just play this game in whatever way I want and just as when we play our online VR games, whatever, we can choose to try out playing the evil part. Although here we don't want to be evil. But sometimes it's fun. Just to test it, check it out. How does it feel? Is this me? I think this is, I personally stand for that explanation, which of course corresponds to the one given there in the Puranas and so on. So what is this all about? Is to break that, to loosen that conditioning and return to our own selves again, to reality again. Reality means, first of all, to return to be our real selves again, to clean away that conditioned, those conditioned layers in our mind. And how do we know that we have such conditioned layers? Because sometimes we act irrationally. We become selfish, we become envious, we become greedy. We don't mind even causing sufferings to others or taking from others in order to gain ourselves. Isn't that much the school we find ourselves in here? To learn to go from I, me, mine to we, us, ours. None of us wants to own everything, have everything, but be alone in the world. Because, well, in the ultimate sense, all we need is love. And yes, people who, because there are many today who walk this path towards self-realization and becoming our real selves and acting like that, cooperating around what we agree upon rather than fighting about what we don't agree upon, so on. People who want to live honest, fair, kind. Sometimes, well, get hurt, find it difficult, find themselves among brutes and beasts and barbarians, rough people who take advantage of them. So, I mean, the way I understand the purpose, the positive purpose of spiritual societies and movements and organizations is for such people to be able to come together as friends and support each other. But even there, I guess it's a sign of our time. And maybe even especially there. Psychopaths, narcissists, power-hungry people, often who are not able to climb that power profit ladder anywhere else, see their chance. Because it's easier to do in a society, environment where the people in general don't have that ambitiousness. And I think this is how religions in the negative sense of institutions come about. Now, you have your opinion. I just needed to get this in here also. Because this is really what this cosmology is about. Because all we said here about conditioning, for instance, and everything in this book really is again about life. And life is about what we're talking about here. And in this chapter, we're just trying to show how much our minds and the conditioning of our minds mean and what important, significant role it plays in shaping, actually, the cosmos we live in. And if you can see it now, the entire cosmos as a virtual cosmos, as originating in consciousness and mind, which is what you find in the Puranas, at the first level of creation there after Mahavishnu was, and after the false ego, Ahankara, Mahatattva appeared. There is the Ahankara in the mode of goodness, which is the mind. So it basically starts with the mind. And this is what we get back to in cultures all over the world, that Yes. And this is where we even find quantum physics, the founders, while concluding that it's all there, it's all in a big mind. It's a dream or a virtual reality. It's an illusion, it's Maya. It's a fantasy. But fantasy, that word, let's look it up in Etymoline, because it originally did not mean something completely non-existent, but it referred to that power of the mind to imagine, and how that imagination has such a powerful quality of shaping the world we find ourselves in, something like that.